When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast, brought to you by the Fans First Sports Network. Well, it's day three of the NFL Draft, and the Saints have made three picks so far today, so we thought now would be a good time to jump on and give our instant reaction to the three picks that we've made. Joining me today is Wesley. Wesley, how's it going today?
Doing good, man. Enjoying the draft and seeing what's going on. Just before we talk about these three, like after the first two picks kind of together, did you like how you were feeling about Taliese and Kool-Aid?
Yes. Yeah, no, I was. I mean, obviously on draft night, you know, with the live stream, I was a little bit disappointed with the O-line pick with Dallas Turner there. But the more I read up about this guy, the more I think we've got ourselves a plug-and-play starter at right tackle, at least. And, you know, he's going to be the cornerstone of our offensive line for the next 10 years.
Yeah, the things I was feeling good about, Brian Baldinger did you can find it on YouTube, it's 17, 18, 19 minutes, something like that. We talked to the Saints media about both of their picks. A lot of great things he said about Taliese Fuanga. He knows what he's talking about. And he's talking about, like, obviously some of the size concerns, but like for the things that Taliese does great, if you're keeping him at right tackle, it doesn't make Baldinger scared at all. And Baldinger's a guy that tells the truth, generally.
Yes.
Out of these guys, like, he'll tell you when somebody's not great. So I felt better about somebody like him who truly breaks down what people are doing correctly. And then he even brought up that when they were doing the Senior Bowl stuff, that Taliese was up against Latu, who was the first defensive player taken, and did just fine with him, had no problems with him. So,
yeah.
And Latu's a guy with long arms. So I even felt better and better about it. And still, regardless of whatever is going to go on, and we can all speculate on the cornerback room and all that kind of stuff, Kool-Aid McKinstry at 41 is a, again, he's pretty regularly up there as the 25th best player. And you got Nick Saban, like, not being rude to Terry and Arnold, but kind of telling you that he thinks Kool-Aid's the better player out of the two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to trust Nick Saban, who with his cornerbacks works one-on-one with them. They learned to play cornerback at Alabama directly from Nick Saban. So I'm going to default to the greatest college football coach ever and say, okay, if you say it, then I'm going to agree with it. I'm not going to just.
Yeah. I mean, what I like about the pick is, obviously, like you said, he was ranked within the top 25 best players in the draft this year. But from watching the highlights and listening to people talk about him, he plays physically at the line of scrimmage. So he's not just a cornerback that can, you know, cover. He's good in the run game and is physical with his tackles too.
Well, and in a world where for a long time, wide receivers and cornerbacks have been the divas of the NFL because they're out there one-on-one and showboat and all that. This is a guy who flat out came out and said, like, I'm not worried about that. I am going to do the technically correct thing that a cornerback should be doing. I'm not going to take risks because, ooh, I might get an interception. I don't care about that. I'm going to be in the correct position. And he goes, because the risk you have to take to get the interception a lot of time is the thing that gets you burned. And so I get it. Terry and Arnold had 4 interceptions this year. Kool-Aid had 0. But there's a reason for it. And so, listen, if it's cool to get interceptions, but if you get 3 interceptions and give up 5 long touchdowns, what are you doing? So,
yeah,
I like what I'm hearing more and more. And you know what? A name like Kool-Aid in New Orleans is, if they find a way to make a jersey with Kool-Aid on the back instead of McKinstry, he's going to be one of the most popular jersey sales there's ever been in New Orleans Saints.
Like, hugely successful. Yeah. It is. Okay. It is going to be. So day 1 and day 2.
So what did the Saints do with their first draft pick of day 3? What do you think? Defensive tackle, safety, wide receiver, maybe a tight end. You know, what are they going to do?
So with pick 150 in the 3rd round of the 2024 NFL draft, the Saints select quarterback Spencer Rattler from South Carolina. Give me your immediate thoughts on that one.
I love it. And this is the ultimate, probably for everybody across the country, regardless of who your team is. This is a love it or hate it pick. And I understand why, why people are that way. Spencer Rattler was on a quarterback show on Netflix when he was 17 years old, and he was he was a 17 year old kid. I was an idiot at 17 too. Sometimes I still am. But this is a guy who he's grown up and matured the last couple of years. He went through the tough stuff at Oklahoma, has apparently grown up at South Carolina, has a close relationship with Archie Manning, where he said that Archie Manning texts him weekly. So he's on the right path with the right people to improve and figure this thing out. But the most exciting thing, one, he's not going to play here for 2 years. So he's got time to mature. And he last year had more holy shit throws and completions than any quarterback in the college. Caleb Williams done crazy things. Spencer Rattler has more. He doesn't have some of the highlights. I'm not saying he's Caleb Williams. He shouldn't have been drafted 1 overall. He makes mistakes too. But he also has some holy shit throws and completions for big completions and touchdowns. This guy has something there. If you can mature and learn defenses and do all that stuff and get him away from the bad stuff, the good stuff's there. You just got to eliminate the bad stuff.
Yeah, there's been pretty widespread praise for the pick from analysts and media. You know, I mean, there's been a couple of tweets I've seen where they're saying somebody spoke to an AFC offensive coordinator who said that the value of that pick at 150 is insane, because he said there isn't anybody in college that threw the ball better than him last year.
Our first 3 picks are incredible on the value scale of where you drafted them and what they could possibly bring. And again, number 1 overall picks are 50-50 of that they're going to make it, right? Or sometimes around that. And so you can get a 50-50 pick of maybe it works, maybe it doesn't on a quarterback at pick 150, killer. And it doesn't matter if he becomes nothing. Because the truth is, the other guy that you would have taken at 150 is a defensive lineman, linebacker, safety that's going to play special teams in the preseason and be on the practice squad for the next 2 years. And then he's going to be an Uber driver after that. So I'll take a chance on Spencer Rattler. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the picks in the 4th and 5th round don't hit. We've seen the Saints do well with that. But I take this chance on a guy like Spencer Rattler, who may be your starting quarterback in 2 years, over, you know, a guy who might end up making some special teams tackles.
Yeah, and I mean, you go back now and look, the last 4 quarterbacks or 5 quarterbacks that we've drafted. So you've gone Garrett Grayson, you've gone Ian Book, Tommy Stevens, Jake Haener. Spencer Rattler is clearly better than all of those.
Here's the other thing, and probably the dumbest thing that we should have brought up first, backup quarterback is a desperate need on this team.
Yeah.
Because me and you have talked about that if they don't figure this offensive line stuff out, Derek Carr has proven he gets hit. If he goes down, Nathan Peterman, Jake, any of our backup quarterbacks are losing the football game. You are going to lose any game that a backup quarterback for the Saints plays more than two quarters, period.
Yeah.
I don't care who we're playing. I don't care how much we think we can run the ball. I don't care how good of our defense is. You will lose the football game with Jake Haener or Nathan Peterman or Kellen Mond. And I'm not saying Spencer Rattler as a rookie is just the, but it's better. He's going to have that Jameis thing of, yeah, but he might throw the ball down the field and do something crazy. Like, at least it's there. Those other guys, they're just going to hand the ball off and get pressured, and there's not even an opportunity. So backup quarterback, beyond all the value, it was a desperate need for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I had it when we did our mock draft show. I had it as I wanted a quarterback drafted. I didn't think we'd end up getting Spencer Rattler. I'll be completely
I didn't think we'd get one this talented at this point. This is where you're like taking a shot later, and no offense to the Tulane guys and Pratt and all, but you're taking a true person that needs tons of work to maybe be a good backup.
Yeah.
At least Spencer Rattler, you don't have to go crazy to think that there's a world where he's a starter in two or three seasons. There really is. Like, now, there's a world where he doesn't play football in two or three years, where he's in the Arena League or whatever it's called, UFL. This is not the replacement of Drew Brees, you know, with Derek Carr, the placeholder. I'm not saying that, but there's an upside here that is incredible at pick 150.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's a risk worth taking. And like I said, better than any other quarterback we've drafted.
And pretty cool seeing his reaction to it, because his reaction to it, like, he kind of got emotional for a minute, gave everybody a hug, and then turned around. He's like, that's all I needed. Now it's time. Like, he's basically like, now all I need was somebody to give me a chance. I'm going to.
Yeah.
And like, he just had that look on his face. Like, I'm going to prove you guys right. I think everybody probably does that on draft day. It's like everybody in a job interview tells you they're never late to work and they don't call in, and they have lots of experience. But I mean, at least he's saying the right thing on the first day.
Yeah. And, you know, it's since come out since he was drafted in the interviews that he did come to visit New Orleans and it with a top 30 visit. And that was kept really quiet. That was not in the press. That was not leaked at all that he'd done that. So it was clear that they had a vision for him. And I think the value at 150 for that is insane.
And he's already better than Derek Carr, because his first meal in New Orleans was at Fleming's, not at Chipotle. So already just dominating in clear some areas of our quarterback competition.
Yeah. So exciting first pick on day three, I think. So our second pick at 170, we've taken wide receiver Bob Means from Pittsburgh. Another great name.
Yeah, I mean, we got Taliesin, Rattler, and Bub, and Kool-Aid. I mean, come on. Yeah, great. All-time great name draft.
All-time great name draft, yeah. I'll be completely honest with you. It's not a player I know a huge amount about. I've literally looked him up since we drafted him. He looks like downfield speed.
Yeah, I don't think it's a thing that probably anybody knows much about him. Almost 6'2", 212-pound guy that's got 10-inch hands and runs a 4.43 40. He is a big guy who is a crazy athlete. He actually went to Tennessee as a cornerback and then transferred to La Tech to become a receiver before going to Pitt. But this is a guy who, football, basketball, track star in high school. And again, for his season last year, he caught 41 balls for 721 yards and 6 touchdowns. He wasn't just lighting up college football, but high RAS guys, 9.35 RAS, which at this size is pretty incredible. And I'll just go ahead and say that one thing that you got to like about him is the first thing that he said when talking to the Saints media was that he has a team first mentality. And he said, if you don't block, you don't get the rock. So big, strong, fast, physical guy who, if anything, worst case scenario, he's a better Traquan Smith.
Just about to say the
same
thing.
Who is a player that we like to have and hate to cut. We've kind of moved away from him, I think. But Traquan Smith, Brandon Coleman, this seems like
he was the other one.
The better upside guy of that exact same mold, that the Saints are going to have a guy like that on the team, period.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can catch well enough to where it's not one of those things where as soon as the defense sees him on the field, they know run, 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 and just start, a band pulling the safeties up to the line.
Stack the box, yeah.
I mean, hopefully our new offense doesn't do that. But also big, fast, athletic guys that can run. I want these offensive masterminds that we have now having those kind of guys. Have as many of them as you can. Figure out a way to get on the ball. And, see what we can do.
And again, it was a need, I think, rather than a must. Wide receiver? Between the two. But when you're at this level of the draft, it does kind of drop the...
I'm going to call it a need because I have such a big question mark above Rashid Shaheed, where I went into last year thinking that he was going to take that step and maybe show he could flirt around with, like, if he was the number three behind Olave and Michael Thomas, that there was something there. He looked really confused last year in a lot of scenarios. Now
he did.
I think that this offensive system is going to figure out a way to get the ball in his hand in the space. But he's going to also have to figure some things out. Like, we can't just depend on drawing up great plays. And there's a reason that he was, not drafted highly. It's not because he was slow. So I have a big question mark over Rashid Shaheed. So I think he's going to still be a good special teams player. I think there's a way to get him some sweeps and getting the ball. But I'm not penciling him in as our third receiver anymore. And right now, I don't know who is our third receiver. I mean, A.T. Perry's seventh round guy. Like, we can't, let's not get crazy. Like, I think there's a step for him to take, but if he does the same thing Rashid Shaheed did last year, we're in trouble.
Yeah, you're right. Apart from Chris Olave, the receiver room is a little bit, there's question marks, because I mean, I know we've signed Cedric Wilson and we've signed Stanley Morgan in the offseason, but neither of them are going to light the world up. They're not going to
Those guys are competing with Bub.
They are, they are. A.T. Perry showed flashes towards the end of the season where he could be a good receiver, but like you said, he's a seventh round pick.
Whole lot of people show flashes and then never again.
Yeah. Rashid Shaheed
It doesn't help. It doesn't help all the questions around Juwan Johnson, because he didn't show up last year. Like, we thought he was going to take a step. So a lot of questions.
No, there is. Filled a need and look forward to seeing what he can do. But I think special teams is where he's going to make the roster initially with these new special teams rules. Okay, and then at pick 175, which is the Saints' last pick in the fifth round, selected Jalen Ford, linebacker from Texas.
Who dat?
What's that?
Who dat? No, who is that?
Sorry. Miles away. It's been a long weekend staying up watching these drafts. Linebacker, not necessarily a really big need, I don't think. So I'm thinking we've got this year's version of DeMarco Jackson here. Special teams, maybe a spot on the field at some point, depending on the package or the game as it's going. But again, a player I don't really know a huge amount about.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a 6'2", 240-pound linebacker, so he meets the size that you're looking for a guy coming out of college. He's done okay in some coverage situations this last year. He doesn't need to be, I mean, we don't even need DeMario. We've seen running down the field 30 yards chasing somebody. We don't need that, but he definitely, if you can get him in a position, he's as a middle linebacker where he's attacking the runner and staying in the flats, he does a good job with that. Again, he's kind of well-rounded-ish for you know, linebacker being taken this low in the draft, 175. But yeah, like you said, special teams player, has a lot of experience, has been playing a lot of football, played at University of Texas, like you said, came actually out of the Texas high school system. So, I mean, good size, good athleticism for a guy that, I mean, may be a special teams player or may never play in the NFL. This is kind of that what we were talking about at pick 150. Guys have surprised before from here. And I mean, at least I think that I figured that the Saints were going to take a flyer on a safety or running back, maybe tight end this kind of area, because there's guys with the flashes and upside that and all, but they see something here. We have brought in good linebackers. Sewell has never been healthy, but looks like a good linebacker. So we'll see. Caden Ellis, we brought in, developed. We'll see.
I'm not going to criticize Dennis Allen for his defensive spotting of talent. You know, he clearly knows what he's talking about when it comes to defense. So,
and he did run. I mean, he did. In his time at Texas, he had 572 snaps on special teams. So he is a. I mean, that's probably maybe what he's here for. So again, that's what you need. If he makes the roster, it's a great pick at 175.
It is. So that's where we are at the moment. The Saints have got two picks left today, 199 and 239. What are you hoping to see from those two picks?
I mean, I wouldn't mind a punter and a kicker. A safety tight end. I don't know how much I would trust an offensive or defensive lineman this late in the draft to even have upside. At least with some of these athletic guys at a few other positions, at least there's something there that may flash. I'd like to see a running back possibly. We've seen over the years late round running backs becoming something in the NFL.
Especially in this offensive scheme.
And I mean, there's some potential to just get some athletes and see what we can do with them. So. Honestly, anywhere, I'm not gonna be picky anywhere we go. Like, I'd really be fine if we took a kicker and a punter with the sixth and seventh round pick.
I agree. So where we are now, happy with the draft so far?
Very much. And you know, I'm going to rate the draft on our first three picks. I'm not gonna start getting too serious about what happens at pick 170 and 175. I think Bub Means is a smart, big athletic, fast guy that has huge hands, and if he can use those hands to catch a football, there's something there. There's a way to make him a problem. But based on our first three picks, for sure, huge value, positions of need, all three. And you can never have too many cornerbacks. I'm just going to keep saying that. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with our cornerback kind of system going on. I talked a lot last year about that. I think Alante Taylor drastically struggled. He lost the outside corner position fair and square to Paulson Adebo. He struggled at nickel, got benched a couple of times. And if that's not a spot for him, if Marshawn Lattimore is bought in and back with his team, which we're assuming he is because he's apparently text asking for an offseason workout program, then Kool-Aid McKinstry could be challenging Alante Taylor. And that would be, again, fun cornerback battles. Let's get in there and see who's best.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm not. It'd be very, very silly of me to say, oh, this could be our best draft since 2017. But I'm more confident in the draft we've had this year than I have been in any draft since then. With the ability of the players that we've picked up at the places we've picked them up, the potential is there for this to be, and we need it to be, a really good draft.
And listen, this is a draft. So I look at a lot of these. I look at What player do I think Fuanga can be 2 years from now? Same with Kool-Aid. Same with Spencer Rattler, maybe 3 years from now. All of these guys, I'm not sure how pumped I am about what they're going to do in 2024, if they're going to look like perfect pro bowlers and all that. But they all look like guys with really good upside, and they've got like they've been part of programs that are developing NFL football players. So that's, I like it for the future.
Yeah, me too. Right, that's all the time we have for you right now. So thank you for listening in. We'll be back at some point over the next day or so to cover the last two picks that we make today. So thanks for listening in, and hoot out, everyone.
Hoot out.
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.